This is the Kona Edge, the home of Ironman triathletes who dream of qualifying for the world championships on the Big Island.
You're listening to the Kona Edge. I'm Brad Brown. Thank you so much for joining us today. Over the last 2 years, we're inching up to 2 years, actually. It's our birthday next week here on the Kona Edge. 2 years old. Can you believe it? And we are inching up to 1 million downloads since we've started. Incredible journey it has been. But I've spoken to some phenomenal triathletes over the last couple of years. And today is no different. I get to share another fabulous Ironman Kona story. And this one was not too much of a happy ending, if I have to be honest. We've spoken about the trials and tribulations of getting to the Big Island and racing in the Ironman World Championships. But we haven't spoken to anyone who's had a really terrible race on the Big Island, so much so that they had a DNF. But today will be a first. And we're joined by Jackie Cronin on this edition of the Kona Edge. And a tough one to do because, no one wants to talk about their failures, but I think it's important. We all have them. I have, unfortunately, have a DNF in a race. And, through no fault of my own, unfortunately, it was a bike mechanical and very early on in the race, as you'll hear today as well. But that's all coming up on this edition. And a massive thank you to our sponsor once again, Health IQ. Listen, if you don't have life insurance, and I'll put my hand up, it's probably not something I should admit, but it's something I've just recently done for the first time in my life, actually, got life insurance. If you don't have life insurance, or if you're paying life insurance and you're not happy with the rate you're getting, then be sure to check out Health IQ, okay? They cater to triathletes and really believe that we should be rewarded for the healthy lifestyle choices that we make. They've spent the last few years partnering with life insurance companies to get lower rates for athletes like marathon runners, cyclists, and triathletes just like you. Another thing that makes Health IQ unique is, unlike other life insurance companies, they cater to athletes with low resting heart rates, which sometimes gets flagged as abnormal in fitness tests or physicals. Some of the other things they do is they use waist-to-hip ratio in addition to body mass index, which is great for more muscular athletes, and they also don't penalize healthy athletes for poor family history. They've built what they do with us in mind. What I would suggest is go and get a free quote right now and see how much they can save you. You've got absolutely nothing to lose. Head over to healthiq.com/Kona right now. What you can do is click on the link in the podcast player that you're listening to. If you're listening on iTunes or Stitcher or Overcast, just scroll down, click on the link there right now and head over to that URL. It is healthiq.com/Kona. You're listening to the Kona Edge. We head to Illinois now to catch up with Jackie Cronin. Jackie, welcome onto the podcast. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Jackie, you've just got back a few weeks ago from the Big Island, and experience-wise, probably not one you want to remember. It was disappointing for horrible reasons, wasn't it?
It was.
Tell me a little bit about the experience on race day. What happened in your race?
I got there, checked my bike in. I should have known from the beginning something wasn't right because they didn't have my number when I checked in. Had to have everything new, a new number printed, all the forms filled out by hand. Thought it would be fine. Didn't think anything of it. Went to check my bike in. The numbers went 2412, 2413, 2415. No place to rack my bike. Just not there. So they made a new spot for me, which was on the end. So I was kind of excited about that. Thought, all right, this will be good. My spot's on the end. I can get there fast. Next day came around. I had a great swim. Not super fast, but it was fast for me. And I'm not a swimmer. I'm more of a bike runner. So I had a great swim, got out of the water. 3 miles in, my front fork broke. I rode another 15 miles holding onto my bars, trying to keep them in place, all while trying to flag down motorcycles and ask them to tighten it. Finally, mile 18, they stopped me and I said, just tighten it and I'll be on my way. I was still excited and they said, actually, this is broken. You're lucky that you didn't crash really bad. And got in the big monster truck that they were driving and that was it. But I started day drinking a lot earlier than I had expected.
Jackie, I mean, it must be bitterly disappointing. I mean, I've had a similar experience with a DNF, also a bike mechanical, very early in a race, and I know how that felt. But it wasn't a championship race. To have that happen at Kona, I've been asking everybody, how's the body holding up? How's the heart holding up?
It's good. I'll recover. It's not the first time this has happened. I'm 2 for 4 on finishing full Ironmans now. And last time this happened, it wasn't my fault either. It was weather got shut down. So been through this before. I'll get through it again, and excited to do Cozumel in a couple of weeks.
It must. Yeah. I mean, it's one of those races which we'll talk about as well. But coming into a race like Kona, you were in pretty good shape. You carrying that fitness through. I mean, there's no ways you would have been able to do Cozumel as to the best of your ability so soon after Kona. So I mean, there's always a silver lining when there's dark clouds. So an opportunity to race a race you probably wouldn't have got the chance to race.
Yeah, actually, this year training for Kona has been probably my worst year of training in the last 2 or 3 years, which has been really disappointing. Fresh out of college, first year, having a real job, and I'm traveling a lot for work. So it's just been crazy all around. So coming into Kona, I was really nervous. I knew I could finish. I was confident, but I knew it wasn't going to be my best race. I was just excited to be there and hoping to soak it all in, like everyone said. So I honestly feel like I've been given a second chance. If I can earn my spot to Kona next year, I can hopefully train a whole lot better than I did this year. And it'll actually be my last year to compete in the 18 to 24 baby age group. So I might have a shot at placing.
That's fantastic. As far as sort of your entry into the sport, where did your love for triathlon come from?
I ran cross country 6th through 12th grade. As a senior in high school, it was my first year I didn't qualify for the all-state cross country meet since 8th grade. So I said, that's it. I like distance running. I'm going to run a marathon. So I told my parents, I said, Dad, I found one. It's sponsored by your favorite beer, and it's over spring break in March. So I said, you have to take me. So I trained. I did an 18-week training program. I didn't miss a single day. Ran it, my first marathon at 17. It was the Shamrock Marathon in Virginia Beach. Hoping for 4 hours, and I pulled off a Boston qualifying time with about a minute and a half to spare. And then my freshman year of college, I spent training for Boston. I got a stress reaction in my tibia 6 weeks before the race. So I spent those 6 weeks in a walking boot. And like any smart, dedicated, obsessive distance runner, I ran the marathon anyway. And caused a lot of damage, had a lot of scar tissue in my tibia, still do. So after that, I just couldn't run. I struggled with running for a couple of years, 2 years, 2.5 years. Every time I tried to run, it was just, I tried to run a lot. In the meantime, I taught myself how to swim. I got in the pool every day because I was a dedicated runner and had to do something. So I learned how to swim, and I had started biking the following year. I bought a road bike for $400. It was a Bianchi, and I bought it because it was pretty. Their traditional Celeste color. And started biking and swimming. And eventually, after a couple of months, thought, I kind of like this. The goal to bike and swim to get back into shape just for running. I never thought I'd actually stick with biking and swimming, let alone be somewhat okay at it. So then in 2015, 2 years ago, I said, I'm going to do an Ironman, my first triathlon. I signed up for Michigan Titanium, which was where I was living in Grand Rapids, a full distance tri, and more affordable for a college student. Babysitting paid my way through triathlon for the last few years. And then in the meantime, while I was getting ready for that, I also did Grand Rapids Half Iron. So the Half Iron was in June. Full Iron was in August. I had spent a year training just for that race, really dedicated. And then, oh, I had mono right before the Ironman and got cleared 2 days before to do it. And I was pretty tired and sick, but I was going to do it anyway. I was determined to finish. My parents flew out from Massachusetts, 70 miles in to the bike course, some serious thunderstorms came through and they had to shut down the whole race. So 3 weeks later, I did Cedar Point Challenge Series and finally finished the Ironman. It was a crazy swim, miserable weather on the bike, and then just kind of hot on the run. But it was 13 hours. I won my age group. I was the only one in it. But it was a good... Actually, I hated it. I'll be honest. It was really hard.
You enjoyed the final stretch down to the finish line, I'm sure. Like the most of us, it's the all the miles before that suck in the first one.
Yeah. And that was, I think, one of my first races being 21. So I could actually have my beer after the race. That was exciting.
Jackie, where does the interest in endurance come from? I mean, to run a marathon when you're 17, here we are. I mean, I don't know what the age limit is in the States, but where we're from, you have to be at least 18. So, I mean, 17 is pretty young for a marathon, and you've done a couple of Ironmans now as well. If things went your way, it would have been four, and I mean, you're not even 25 yet. So this interest in the long stuff, where did it stem from?
Running cross country, I always hated sprinting. I was never good at it. Track workouts were my enemy. But then the Saturdays where we did long runs, I felt like I could keep up with all the fast boys, no problem. And I was just chattering away and I enjoyed it. And I felt like I was naturally better at it. So when I started training for that first marathon, my longest run up until then had been 10 miles, but I thought I could do it.
And I think once that endurance bug bites, there's no going back. It's addictive. There's no two ways about it.
Oh, yeah. And everyone said, oh, don't do it, because once you start, you can't go back. And I thought, no. I'm just going to do one marathon, and then I'm probably going to run cross country in college and stick with that. And sure enough, I qualified for Boston, and that was the end of it. And here we are, Kona, stuff I had never even heard about.
Where did the interest in Kona come from? I mean, you talk about never hearing about it before getting into the sport. Once you find out, and someone like you who's fairly competitive, I mean, you gave up cross country because you didn't make a team. So you obviously hate losing. When did Kona first get onto the radar for you?
When I did that first non-Ironman branded Ironman 2 years ago, I still don't think I even knew the difference between what an Ironman brand meant. I hadn't heard of Kona. I had heard bits and pieces from other people, but I really didn't know what it meant or what it was. And then the following year, I signed up for, actually, it was the day after I finished Cedar Point, I signed up for Ironman Wisconsin, which was a full year later. And at that point, I started reading more books about training and looking into different things. I never thought I would qualify. I thought I wanted to do 12 hours and that would put me maybe top five in my age group. But that's when I started to look into Kona, was when I was training for the race that I qualified at.
Obviously, race-wise, things didn't go your way, but as an experience as a whole on the Big Island for that race, tell me a little bit about it. How special is it being there?
Oh, it was so cool. I was really blessed to be able to be there for two full weeks. My boyfriend raced as well, and he has done it twice already. So not only did I have someone that knew their way around, but knows the race, and can also put my bike together and help me with all that stuff. So that is awesome. We went to the pre-race athlete dinner, and that was an experience in itself. They had the traditional dances and told you all about the race, and they do a great job of inspiring everyone to just get excited and make you feel like you really are special. Just the fact that you got there, whether you have a good race or not, it's you're one of very few people who get to go.
Yeah, absolutely. As far as what you're struggling with at the moment, sort of training wise and racing wise, what are you trying to get better at right now?
Right now, I think it's all a mental game. Training for Ironman Wisconsin last year, just my living situation, everything was better. And I trained a lot and I loved every single minute of it. It was fun. And that made it easy to train. And then I could work on things from there. But this year has just been hard mentally to even get out there, go to the gym, or anything. So if I can improve that, that's where I need to start, is just getting back to the consistency that I had last year.
It's interesting you say that, because I think a lot of triathletes go through that. The first couple of years, there's lots of excitement. It's all very new. And when you start getting to Ironman 3, 4, 5, it is. You say it's a mental thing, but it is. You can almost do them on memory now because you know what it takes. And to get out of the door when it's early and dark and maybe a little bit cold out, it's not that easy. It takes big motivation and big discipline.
Yeah, and I think that was hard because Ironman Wisconsin went so well for me. My family was there. I told them where I was going to be at every point for my 12-hour goal. Of course, I went 11:07, so they missed me at every single spot. But my face hurt worse than anything by the end of the race because I was smiling the whole time. I had an absolute blast. And so my fear going into Kona was that no race was ever going to be as enjoyable as that, you know, they're supposed to hurt. And I didn't really experience that. I just had fun. I mean, part of that is from training well and being prepared.
Jackie, who do you look up to in the sport?
Say Rennie and Tim are always cool to watch. I mean, they've been popular the last couple of years when I just started getting into it. I also read Chrissy Wellington's book. That was one of the first triathlon books that I read, and that was very inspirational. Such a cool story.
Yeah, and she's an absolute machine. I was in Port Elizabeth when she ran the 2:52. She ran the fastest marathon split out of anyone on the day, the men included. And I've never seen anyone run like that in my life. It was just something else to watch. Phenomenal indeed. She is an absolute machine. What do you still want to achieve in the sport? Obviously, you're still quite young, and you've got hopes and ambitions. Well, what do you still want to do?
I'd love to be able to go back to Kona, obviously, and being able to go back next year would be even cooler since I will still be in the baby age group. And as you probably know, the finishing times and the amount of athletes are a lot less of us and times are a little slower. So I think if there's ever an easier chance at finishing top five, it's next year. Not that it's all about how easy it is, because obviously we're competitive. I still want to continue to improve. I'd love to just get back to where it's fun to train again, where I can ride out my door. Where I live now, there's nowhere to bike. It's kind of city, very suburban. I don't actually spend much time here, so I don't know my way around. I can't even make it to the grocery store a mile away without having to use Google Maps because I'm never here. So just getting back to a normal lifestyle and everyday routine, so that I can improve and enjoy it again, would make all the difference.
As far as also some of the other struggles you've had, you mentioned suffering with mono at some stage as well. And that, I mean, I know that can knock someone in a big way. I mean, it must have been really tough having to train. I mean, could you train through it? I mean, tell me a little bit about the experience then and what it was like.
Yeah. So I was nannying full time over the summers because I was in school. And then training about 20 hours a week in addition to the 50 hours of nannying. And every afternoon I just felt tired. I was exhausted. And so I started drinking Monster or Red Bull every afternoon because I've never been a coffee drinker, but someone told me that caffeine might help me get back up and running so I could do my afternoon workout. And I just started to have all sorts of problems. My eyelids were so swollen. I couldn't see anything. I was just wiped out, but I thought, nope. It's Ironman training. That's what it does to you. I'll be fine. Finally, just things were tasting like metal. I had some weird stuff going on. So I finally went to the doctor. I was like, listen, here's what's going on. I'm training for an Ironman. I probably just have an iron and vitamin B deficiency. So how can you help me? And got my blood test back. They're like, actually, those are fine, but you have mono, so you can't keep training, which was more devastating than anything. So spent 10 days, not exercising, which is, you know, unheard of and very difficult leading up to race. So it was the worst forever, definitely. And then 3 days before the race, they're like, well, you know, if you're feeling up to it, you can race, but you're allowed to carry your phone and have the doctor on, make sure you have his phone number, the sports doctor who's around in case anything happens. You know, your spleen could still be, you know, burst or something if you were to crash. So I didn't think anything of it. I'm sure my parents were a little nervous, but I said, I'll be fine. I'm going to do it.
I'm sure they were. For those who don't know what mono is, tell us a little bit about it.
It's a virus that you get. It takes about, I think, 8 weeks to actually make itself known. So you really, it's hard to tell where you would have gotten it. I wasn't kissing anyone, so I don't know where I got it. They call it the kissing disease.
But it really, I mean, it as far as fatigue goes, I mean, I've known a couple of people have had it, and it really does. It just knocks you where you're always physically tired. It's, I mean, to do anything is an effort. So I don't know how you were training for an Ironman in the middle of that. I mean, most of us are tired, but gee, that takes it to a new extreme.
Yeah. When I got it, they said it had been active in my body for about 2 weeks, which would have made sense why I was feeling like that. If I wasn't Ironman training, I would have felt a lot more tired. But I was just go, go, go all the time. There was no downtime. So I just didn't have time to be tired, I guess. I thought it was normal with the amount of training because it was my first year really training for anything like that at all. First year of triathlons. So I just thought this must be normal.
Yeah. Are you always tired? You're always hungry. Those are the two things when you're training for an Ironman, I guess.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much normal. Jackie, as far as lessons you've learned in the sport, what's the biggest thing that triathlon and Ironman has taught you?
Consistency. Absolutely. That's what I had last year, and I didn't realize how important it was because it came easy. This year, not having any consistency and thinking I could get through without it has definitely fooled me and caught up to me later.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably the biggest thing that we sort of hear here on the podcast. I mean, age group after age group says it, and as much as you don't want to hear it, I think that is the secret: consistency and consistency over time. If you want to get better at the sport, it's a couple of seasons. It's not a short term project. You got to do it. You got to do it over and over for a few years before you start seeing big results.
Yeah, absolutely. And my first Ironman, stayed with a relative that I'd never met, but he did a bunch of Ironmans. It was my dad's cousin. And his advice to me was, you know, make sure you pay attention to detail. He said, you have an advantage as a newbie triathlete because you pay attention to everything. It's the third, fourth, fifth triathlons that you start to think, oh, I know everything. It's going to be fine. And you miss stuff. And I thought of that when I did 70.3 Worlds this year. I also worked the expo for 5 days leading up to the event. And sure enough, I got to my transition bags. My running shoes were double knotted and tied together. My helmet was still in pieces. I was lucky that I even had water in my bottles and air in my tires, thanks to my boyfriend who made sure I had the things I needed. But it's crazy how many details go into this, and it's very easy to think that you know what you're doing and miss a lot of those.
Yeah, that's great advice. Looking back, if you could go back and talk to yourself as you were starting out, knowing what you know now, what would you tell yourself?
Honestly, starting out, I was excited, and I think I did it right, and I'm glad I did it how I did it. I think if I'd like to talk to myself at the beginning of this year, because once I qualified for the race, I slowed way down. That's when I got the new job. And at that point, I wish I could have told myself that it's not important to get big workouts in. Like, it's important to be consistent, because I think I really struggled mentally because I always felt like I had to do a 2 or 3 hour workout every day. And if I didn't have time for that, I didn't work out, and I slowly just, I fell off the wagon and really struggled to get back on because I always felt like I had to do a big workout. And so I wouldn't do anything, you know, not even a short workout for days.
And that's one of the big risks too. I mean, you mentioned the injuries from a running perspective that you've suffered. That's often the case too. When somebody does come from an athletic background, and obviously you come from a running background, you almost, when you're coming back from an injury or something like mono or a short break where you haven't been training, it's exactly that, where you think you can do it on memory. And just because you were running 10 miles comfortably 2 months ago, it doesn't mean you can run 10 miles comfortably now if you've done nothing since then. That's probably the biggest mistake experienced athletes make.
Yeah, and that was mine, but it was more of a mental injury, just thinking that I had to do that. And when I didn't have time, I did nothing instead.
Jackie, what do you think is the biggest challenge facing the sports today?
Probably the cost, honestly. It's very limited to people who can afford it. If you want to do Ironman, I mean, you can do one a year, but there's a lot of costs that go into it. That's for sure.
Would you advise, I mean, talking of those costs, I mean, when somebody comes into the sport, I know it was like that with me, and I'm not sure if you experienced this too, but it's very intimidating. You look at all the gear and the bicycles and the helmets and everything. Do you think it's necessary for somebody starting out to go full tilt and get all the gear straight up?
No, I don't think so. I did that for, I finished my first Ironman distance on that $400 road bike. So I don't think it's necessary. It's definitely intimidating showing up and seeing all the equipment that everyone has and the gear, and cycling has a fashion group of its own. So there's a lot you can get into, but you don't need to. You can still do it.
If I say the word Kona, what do you think of?
Hot. The world championship.
Explain to somebody who hasn't been to the Big Island, how hot is it? I mean, everyone says it's hot, but describe it. It's a different hot.
Yeah, you know, I like it hot. Every one of my races this year has been over 90 degrees and humid, and I did well, so I'm excited. But it's still nothing like the heat that they have there. It's the heat and the humidity combined for days on end. It's not any cooler in the morning. It's not much cooler in the evening. It feels debilitating. It makes you not want to do anything.
And even being out there quite a while before, do you think that's necessity? You have to, you can't arrive just a few days before that race if you want to be competitive?
I don't think so. I think you can arrive a few days before if you want to be competitive. It can definitely be done. You just need to be organized and know where you're going and when to pick up your things and have enough time to rest before the race.
Talk to me about picking races for you. Are you one that does it on convenience, that races close to home or fit in perfectly your schedule? Or do you look at courses and go, okay, this suits me more because I prefer this sort of terrain?
In the past I did Grand Rapids half and the full in the end of the year, because it was close. So it was cheap. It was convenient. And then I did Wisconsin cause it was the closest, full Ironman. But once again, that's why it was just such a great race for me. Cause it also happened to be a hilly course, which I do great on hills. I loved every minute of that bike course. So it was a course for me looking forward now that I have the opportunity and I plan for work, which is usually 2 Ironman events, actually. I definitely have the opportunity to look at courses more. So looking ahead to this year, I think I will be. But in the next month, I'll know if I have a shot at Kona again. So that may be the next race. It might not be.
Talk to me about the obviously that you're talking about the change in living situation, going from college to working and having to travel a lot. How are you dealing with the travel? I mean, that's a big one as well, and fitting in training, particularly triathlon training. If you're just running, it's okay. You can pack in some gear and a pair of running shoes and you're good to go. But for triathlon, it's a bit more challenging.
Absolutely. I can't just bike out my front door every day anymore. We are traveling in like a 50-foot trailer between a Sprinter van that we live out of and sometimes have the bikes in as well. And pulling a Airstream trailer, they're wrapped and branded matching. So it's pretty cool. The bikes stay in the trailer for the most part. While traveling, you know, it's kind of tricky to either find a pool, or if we're working at a race expo, I can get in on the couple of pre-race swims maybe and train there, or try to bike before expos. The problem with when we're traveling and expos is that they're exhausting. You're on your feet all day. And the last thing I want to do after that is go for a run or a bike ride, because I know I'll feel better when I do, but it's really, really hard. And then same thing with getting up in the morning, knowing you're gonna be standing all day and wiped out from the day before. It's hard. It's really hard. I know I can do it, but it's just been a big mental block this year with traveling. It's a whole lot harder than having a routine and sticking with it every day. It makes training from home look like a piece of cake.
Tell me about work. This sounds interesting. An Airstream trailer traveling the country. It sounds glamorous.
It is, and you'd think it is, but traveling is not as glamorous as it seems. We are bringing a supplement to the market for endurance athletes. It's called Alt Red. So we've been at a few Ironman events this year. It's a highly refined beet extract. So my job is kind of the event and marketing coordinator. So planning events, where we're going to be going. But also there's really only two of us on the project launching this. So we have our feet in, our toes in everything, in every area. So I've learned a lot. This job has been a huge blessing. I graduated with an exercise science degree, and now I'm doing marketing, and I've had the opportunity to learn and use more platforms and met more people than I ever could have imagined in my first year out of college. So it's been an experience. It's been crazy. It's a startup, so we are working really hard and long and really weird hours. It's just learning balance has been really tough.
You've got an Airstream trailer. What more do you want?
I know. 1968.
Oh, man, that is awesome. That is fantastic. Jackie, thank you so much for your time here on the Kona Edge. I look forward to talking about your swim, bike, run, and your nutrition strategies. But we'll save that for another time. Thanks for your time on the podcast today.
All right. Thank you.
Getting to Kona requires a lot more than passion and hard work. This is where expert coaching plays a large part in filling in the gaps through better programming, education, effective communication, key analysis, and then adapting useful metrics to allow athletes to develop into the best they can be. Performance by 3 have helped countless athletes from all over the world achieve their endurance dreams at the Ironman World Championships by following tried and tested scientific methodology and implementing successful long-term training techniques, achieving a healthy, happy, and competitive athlete. Not ready for Kona just yet, but want to crush your next endurance race? Performance by 3 have a strictly limited group that they take on every year towards their key events through their Breakthrough Performance Program, providing the athlete with every facet they need to PR in their goal event. Initial consultations are obligation-free, so why not check them out to see if they're the right fit for you? Simply head over to pb3.com.au to find out more. That's pb3.com.au, or simply visit thekonaedge.com/coaching for more details. And that's almost it for another edition of the Kona Edge. Don't forget, we're still giving away that Ironman entry. If you'd like to get your hands on it, it's valued at $750. I'm going to be paying for someone to race. All you need to do is head over to thekonaedge.com/win. That's where you can get all the details. Before we go, a quick iTunes review for you. And a massive thank you to Iron Trev in Canada for leaving a 5-star review for us, saying packed full of age group gems. hearing our others achieve what so many of us want, a Kona slot delivered in an entertaining, informative way with little unnecessary fluff. Keep up the good work, Iain Kibb. Thank you so much for your kind words. I hope you enjoyed today's podcast as well. I really do appreciate it. And just a massive thank you to our sponsor today as well. I mentioned them at the top of the show, and I'm being serious. If you have life insurance and you're not quite happy with the rates you're paying, definitely check them out. Or if you don't have life insurance, you need to get some, mate. Go and check them out, okay? It's Health IQ, an insurance company that helps health-conscious people get special life insurance rates. The URL to get to is healthiq.com/Kona. In doing so, you support the show and you can learn more right now. So go check it out. That's healthiq.com/Kona, or you can just scroll down into your podcast player and the link is right there. You can click straight through right now. Until tomorrow, from myself, Brad Brown, thank you once again for listening. If you do celebrate Thanksgiving, I hope it is fantastic for you tomorrow. I'll be back tomorrow with another edition. But if you are taking a few days off, enjoy it with friends and family. And we look forward to catching up again soon. Until then, it's cheers.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Kona Edge. Don't forget to connect with us on social media. Simply search for the Kona Edge.